When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come. Longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart.
Hi, this is Chaplains Timothy Burdick
and Stephanie Burdick,
and we'd like to welcome you to the Visions of Love podcast, reaching out to the spiritually and physically blind throughout the world.
You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Hello, folks, and welcome to our podcast. We're going to be doing something a little different on this week's show. We will not be featuring music in this episode. If you want to hear some great music, please stay tuned and check out our Christmas concert on Monday. We're going to have a lot of great music then. In the meantime, we're giving over our entire episode to a great interview with a man named Tim Snyder. He is the founder of Spoken Word Ministries. We encourage you to listen to his story, and please get involved in Spoken Word Ministries if God puts it on your heart. Thank you, and enjoy the interview.
Hello, everybody. Today we have our guest from Spoken Word Ministries, Tim Snyder. Say hi, Tim.
Hi there, Tim and Stephanie.
And, well, it's a pleasure to have you with us.
Any listeners out
there? Well, Tim, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you came to the Lord, and what got you into Spoken Word Ministries.
Okay. Well, Tim, I was raised in a Christian home, so I was taught about God from my earliest days. When I was about 12 years old, I had a sense that I needed to join the church, and so I did. Now, that was certainly a good thing. I did not do that frivolously. I did that what I thought was in obedience, and so I became a church member at 12 years old. But then a couple of years later, our church had what was called a lay witness mission, and that was where people in different churches across our conference came and they told, and I guess they could have been outside the conference too, but there was a group that was gathered together because they'd have these what they call lay witness mission teams, and so they would come and they would just tell how Jesus had made a difference in their lives and the impact that he made in their lives, and it was really a simple presentation of the gospel and coming to Jesus. Well, our young people at the time had a meeting on that Saturday night, and I remember during that meeting, I don't remember the subject matter, but I remember the Lord began to deal with me, and he said, "You've been raised in a Christian home, but now it is time for you to deal with me. You cannot ride piggyback into heaven." Isn't that interesting? In other words, he was saying, I could not ride on my parents' salvation. They could not carry me with them. I myself had to call on him for salvation. And I think he used the word piggyback so that I would understand what he was trying to say. Believe me, it wasn't a big theological discourse the Lord gave me.
And was it an audible voice?
No, it wasn't an audible voice. It was just the thought, the awareness, you cannot ride piggyback into heaven. So it was that awareness that God gave to me. Well, then it was time for us to go. We were going to have prayer. This is what's so interesting. Like I said, I don't remember what the person said, but he said, we're going to go to the sanctuary and pray. I remember the position how I was sitting. I was sort of slightly turned to the right, and I was leaned over a little bit in prayer, sitting on the bench. I remember the fellow that was sitting with me. I believe he was to my right. I remember his name. Isn't that interesting? The only reason I'm saying that to communicate, this was a real experience. It was so real in my mind and in my awareness. And I said, I don't even know exactly how I prayed, but Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I want you to be my Savior or something. But here's what I do know. So I don't remember the words I said, but I remember something happened. And I said, oh, I'm a Christian now. I'm a believer. Jesus is living in me. I was aware that I had been what they called born again. What John, in John chapter 3, what Nicodemus was saying had to happen, happened to me.
Right.
I was born again.
Did you get the feeling of going into, you know, ministry pretty soon
No, it did not happen at all soon after that. I continued to live as a Christian, had the struggles that many teenagers have. And then around when I was 17, somewhere in that year, somehow I had the sense that God wanted me to draw closer to him and wanted to draw closer to me. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I'm having this interest in religion, it seems. And I had met with a group of people earlier where they had said, if you are not water baptized in our church by immersion, then you are not saved. That's just the long and short. Well, that troubled me because I was not in a church that at that time that practiced immersion. So, and I certainly could not out-talk them scripturally. They were much more versed in the scriptures than I was. But I knew that I was born again, and yet, you know, when you're a young teenager, it was really upsetting for me. So I tell you that because then this will make sense. I also had some people, a youth director of the church where I was in, and he began to talk about the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in you and so forth. Well, and so he began to talk to some friends of mine, and, you know, I just sort of heard but didn't. Also along at that time, I went to some Pentecostal churches. Now, I'm not saying this critically, but I'm just saying this to give you a picture of what things were like. And that was that, they started all praying together. And I remember telling the Lord, Lord, I just can't pray in this loud noise. I just can't do it. And I also remember somebody saying, well, have you received the Holy Spirit? You've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, Tim. Well,
right,
I just said, yeah, not knowing anything else what to say, you know. And thankfully, they didn't press me on it, because you remember that experience I had had where people were questioning my salvation. So anyway, so then this youth director comes along, youth minister, and so I said, Frank, I need to talk to you. And I said, Frank, I need to be baptized. So I was beginning to believe that I should be baptized by immersion, because when I was baptized before, that was when I had joined the church. And you see, I was christened. They called it christening as a little baby. But then the minister baptized me when I joined the church, because I was confirming the faith in which I had been raised. And I was very sincere. This is so very important for people. I was very sincere. In my mind, I was not rebelling against God, but I had not had that conversion experience. I wonder if John Wesley had a little something like this, and to where he was very religious. He wasn't aware he was rebelling against God, but then there was a time when his heart was strangely warmed, and he was born again. So you see, that's what happened to me at 14. So then we had these other issues raised. So I said, Frank, that was a youth minister's name. I said, I need to talk with you. And so we were on like a ski trip or something. And so we walked around. He said, what is it? I said, Frank, I think I need to be baptized. He said, well, in water or in the Spirit? And I said, in water, I guess. I thought, what in the world is he talking about? And, but it did not, you know, and remember I had that experience visiting that Pentecostal church.
Yes.
I had people talking about these things. I knew they were talking about them and so forth. But so there was not really a seeking. But remember, at the same time, God was saying, I really want you to be closer to me. When we walked into that building after we took just that five-minute walk, and he said, well, you know, we'll work on it, or whatever he said, he took note of that I wanted to be baptized by immersion. So after that, this is what the Lord said to me. And this, just like you said, was it an audible voice? It was not audible, but it was God gave me the thought.
Right.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Yes.
Well, anyway, so then on a Friday, we had written a journal. It's interesting. I had written a journal on this Friday because that was our English assignment. And what's interesting is how the journal changed from Friday to Monday. And that was just a testimony of what God did. Well,
uh-huh.
On Sunday night, I began to pray. In fact, used to what I do, Tim, and some of the people may relate to this, is I would turn down my stereo. You know, you could be real low. I'd turn it down, say a real quick prayer, then turn it up again. You ever prayed like that? Doesn't sound like
yeah.
You can get your full attention. Well, the Lord said, okay, you need to turn off that stereo and pray. Now, this was not a command. It's just an awareness that that's what I should do, and that's what I did do.
Uh-huh.
Well, then I began to pray, just, Lord, I just thank you. And I began to talk out loud. And I think I might even prayed for healing, which was not customary for me to, you know, Lord, if you want to heal me, restore sight, certainly do that. Anyway, then I began to praise God audibly. I began to praise. And that's not something I generally did, but I just did it. It was kind of like, you know, if you're sort of absent-mindedly drumming your fingers on the table like I'm doing now, you can hear in the background. Well, I'm not absent-mindedly doing it because I deliberately. But just you've probably done that before. And then you realize, oh,
sure.
I'm tapping on the table, you know, and you weren't thinking about it. So I was just praising, and all of a sudden I began to speak in a language I had never learned before.
Wow.
And I thought, what is going on here? And I thought, this is not as true. I thought with my denomination that, and I'm not saying that because I don't want to come across in any negative way, because that's not my intention. Because I thank God for the church in which I was raised, because that's where I heard the gospel and was born again. But in my church, we don't do this. That was my honest thought. We don't do this. What is happening? That's what I was wondering. What is happening? Because this is not our practice. Immediately after that thought, the awareness, oh, so that's what Frank was talking about. This thing called the baptism in the Spirit, that's what he's talking about. And I was so aware of the presence of God in the room. And I said, I have received from the Lord this thing they call the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I knew there was the Holy Spirit. It wasn't that I did not believe in the Holy Spirit, but it's that the real presence, real active presence of the Holy Spirit was present.
Yeah.
And just to give an example, you know, remember, I'm a young teenager. I'm a 17-year-old young man, and or you could say, boy, I wasn't 18 yet. But, you know, sometimes young men are tempted. Maybe they're tempted because the young women come along, you know, young girls. And they're, well, the thing is, the Holy Spirit would call my attention to these things. In other words, he wouldn't let me get away with or try to, oh, hey, it's no big deal, you know, whatever. He wouldn't do that. He would address me. I thought, wow, he's actually talking to me like as if he was a human being right here with me. He's a real person addressing me. I can't pull anything over on him. You know, he'll be kind, but he'll be honest.
Yes.
And I realized that the Holy Spirit, I mean, I believed in him before. There was the Father, there was the Son, and there was the Holy Spirit. But somehow the active working of the Holy Spirit, I was not aware of him and of the power and of the believing that, you know, that same Holy Spirit that was living and active in the New Testament is living and active today. I kept on growing, and then I began to just discover other people that love the Lord. That's when I discovered the different type of music that young people, you know, the Jesus movement and that sort of thing. Well, then one Saturday, I believe it was Saturday morning, I had a very emotionless experience. See, that was very emotional, receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. My conversion to Christ was very emotional. Those were two emotional things. You know, they involved my emotions. But now this Saturday morning, I woke up deadpan as you want to be. I mean, deadpan as you be. No emotion whatsoever. No emotion. But there was a knowledge, just a certain knowledge that was a fact. I am calling you into the ministry. It was a fact, like, you know, we say Columbus discovered America in 1492, and that's one of the first facts we learn when we go to school. We don't debate it. It's just the way it is. And that is how God's call came to me in the ministry.
Wow.
Calling you into the ministry. I said, now, Lord, here's the thing. If I talk about a verse of the Bible for 2 minutes, I'm done. That's all I know. You know, I don't see how I can do the ministry or preach, because it was my sense was I was called to preach. And I said, I just don't see how I can do this. But then I said something else. I said, but if you will give me some kind of evidence of this call, just some evidence to confirm your call, that'll be fine. I will respond to this call. I'll accept this as a call from you. So I had made it hard for the Lord, hadn't I? So I had made it hard for the Lord. See, I'd already explained to him how I couldn't speak but 2 minutes on the word. You know, it wasn't that I was rebelling. It wasn't that I said, no, I refuse. I was just explaining to him that I didn't think I was able, and I'd given him an opportunity for him if he would. Now, let me tell you what. So did he do that? Well, around that was in the summertime, and around September, I guess it was, I went to my uncle's house, and he had some grapevines, and we picked grapes and ate grapes, and that was wonderful. And then I was to speak in a church that he had lined up, and I just simply gave my testimony. And I said, and if anybody wants to come forward to accept Christ, you can do that today. Did you know there was, I think he was 12, somewhere around near that age. Only one young boy responded. A 12-year-old boy came forward to accept Christ. And the Lord said to my heart, there is your sign. And I said, okay, Lord, I will. And from that day on, I have accepted the call of God to the ministry. Now, that doesn't mean there hasn't been struggles, or doesn't mean, you know, I haven't said, but Lord, do I have to do this or that? But you know, I've never said from that time forth, I am not called to the ministry.
Right.
You know, even from any struggles or whatever, I have not denied that call, because it was a true call. Basically, the Lord led me through college, through some pastoral ministry as associate minister, and then he called me to found Spoken Word Ministries. And that was a little different. I won't go into the detail of that. But just to say, he said, you take one step, and if I want you to take two, I'll tell you. And, well, I guess he did want me to take two, because that was over 30 years ago. So Spoken Word Ministry was founded in December 9th of 1987. Now, since 1988, we've been sending Christian literature to blind people. We've had fellowship groups of blind people gather for worship. We have produced Braille gospel leaflets, tracts, in different languages, Russian language, Bulgarian language, the, of course, English language. We have distributed tapes, Spanish tapes, in Honduras. So that brings us to today. What are we doing right now? What are some resources that you can get from Spoken Word Ministries? Well, we have two main ministries. And I say two main because you never know what God is going to do. I'd love him to do whatever it is he wants to do. But I want to tell you about two of our ministries. One is called ICC, the Interactive Christian Community. Now, if you go to ICCsite.com, that's where our page is located that talks about the Interactive Christian Community. That's ICCSITE.com. It's a gathering of people. You don't have to even be a Christian to be a member, but it is a Christian community. And so people come together for Bible study, prayer, special programs. We're working on a special program right now that I'm excited about, that we hope to have a singer who sang with Maranatha to join us for some fellowship and testimony. The idea is bringing Christians together. It's not for to try to, who can we get that's famous or whatever. That's not the point. The point is brothers and sisters in Christ.
Right.
And so we have other special programs. Sometimes we'll have Christmas marathons. Sometimes we'll have special calls to prayer. We had one of those on November 3rd, a special call to prayer. And we have people from different countries who are members of the Interactive Christian Community. I have a Bible study that I teach on Thursday mornings. And we are studying early church writings on Monday mornings. And there's a pastor that teaches on Monday nights in one of our rooms. We have a men's meeting Monday afternoon. So we have various things going on ICC. We have a Sunday school and a morning worship service on Sunday morning. And we're using two platforms. Some programs use one, some use the other. One uses Zoom. You've heard of Zoom, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And then the other platform we use is called Team Talk for some of our programs. So all you need is either a phone, like an iPhone, or a computer with a microphone, and you need an internet connection to be able to join. Now, with our Zoom programs, you can actually call on the telephone if you don't have a computer. And we have a schedule, and it tells on the schedule whether something is a Zoom program or whether it's, you know, whether it's not. In other words, if it's on Zoom, it'll say it's on Zoom. If it doesn't identify, it would be on Team Talk. So you go and you fill out a form. Whether you're sighted or blind, you can join that, and we welcome people to join. And our telephone number's there. If you get stuck somewhere, just give us a call, and we will help you walk through so that you can be involved, because we want people to be involved in the Interactive Christian Community. And then I'm going to move to another ministry that I'll tell you about. But one thing we want people to be involved in is our Bible Marathon in January, starting January 1st. We do this 12 hours a day from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. We present the Bible, and we need presenters. We need people who are willing to read the Bible. In fact, if we don't get enough people, we won't be able to do it. So if you're a praying person, you pray that God will give us enough presenters to be able to read the Bible. You can read it in Braille, read it in print. I've had actually people to listen to the Bible in earphones and then speak what they hear. And then we have monitors that monitor the presenters. But the only reason we don't do it 24 hours a day, we used to, but we've lost some of our folks who are on the other side of the world. and so that when it's our night, they could do it in the daytime. And it was just wearing us out. So not this year. We've already set on a 12-hour schedule. But if we can get some more people to commit, I'd encourage us to return to that 24-hour. There was something special about that in my thinking. But we're doing it 12 hours. We got 10 to 10. And how long are we going to do it? Until the Bible is finished. We're going to go straight through from Genesis right through Revelation.
Wow.
What we need right now is presenters, because our scheduler, if he doesn't have presenters that are registered early, then he can't fill out the schedule. So it's a really a serious thing, and we ask that you would help it to be. And by the grace of God, it will be. If you visit BrailleAudio.org, that's BrailleAudio.org, that's our Christian resource library with books and Christian teachings. And there's a registration form. If you're blind or have a print disability, Library of Congress member, NLS member, sign up and we can help you.
Okay.
And our telephone, I didn't give that, is 919-635-1000. And email Tim, T-I-M,
yes.
W-I-T-H-S-W-M, at gmail.com.
Okay. And how can people pray for you?
Well, pray for us that God would just bring the workers. This library is a mammoth project. We need more workers to help process Braille, who know how to do that, who are transcribers and proofreaders, who are certified, who know how to produce Braille books. We need to get that Christian Braille library built up. Also, certainly pray for ICC and for our Bible Marathon especially, because we really need presenters.
What would you say is one of the most challenging stories that you've experienced?
You mean with people, I guess, that are challenged? I can tell you a moving story. I was doing a survey back in 2006 to try to see what people want, how we could serve people better, how they wanted to serve. And I had somebody call in giving the surveys, and I said, now listen, you, and I don't know why I said this, but I said, you are going to call some people, and you're going to run into some situations that are really going to move you. Did you know it wasn't, but maybe a day, maybe later that day, a couple hours after I gave her that list, she called me. Oh, Tim, I can't keep doing this. I said, what happened? She said, I was talking to this person, and I think they were blind and they had other disabilities, and yet he was a military person. I think he was an amputee because of military injuries, and her husband was a military man in the Green Berets.
Uh-huh.
And so she could relate to that. And he was still going on serving God and wanting to do more. And she was so moved by that. I said, I told you you would have stories. And you see, there's people in all kind of situations. And God has shown me we're not ministering to the crowds. We're ministering to people. And with ministry to blind people, that's a lot of times that's the way it is, Tim. Is it's one by one by one.
Yes.
So if we can help you, maybe you need some Christian literature. Maybe you need to be on ICC with a group of people. Maybe you don't have a church home, or you can't get to church, and you need a place where you can come, where you're not just listening to a service, but where you can not only listen, but you can actually talk to the people in attendance, just like you can when you're in church. Then you come.
Yes.
Give us a call, 919-635-1000, and say, help me sign up for that ICC, or I want to sign up for Braille Audio, and we'll help you do that.
Well, Tim, it's really been a pleasure having you on, and that's one of the reasons for this podcast. I felt like God was just wanting me to expose people to all kinds of needs in the world. Sometimes we get so hung up on our own little corner of the world that we forget other people's needs.
Well, amen. Well, thank you so much for having me, and I'm glad to share about our ministry. But I think even most important is urging people who hear this podcast to ask yourself, have you been born again?
Yes.
Whether you're religious or not, that you can call out to Jesus and you believe in him, turn your life over to him as Lord and believe that God has raised him from the dead. The Bible says you shall be saved. And just confess him as Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, God bless you. And thank you, brother, for coming on. We appreciate it.
God bless you, and you're welcome. Okay.
Have a good day. Bye now.
You too. Bye-bye now.
To contact us, all you need to do is go to mynvm.com.
NVM is an acronym for New Vision Ministries.
If you want to contact us, there's a contact form on the website. Or if you don't know Christ or need prayer, please call 507-369-6861. Thank you. I hope you've enjoyed this, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. God bless.
Thank you, and God bless you.
I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. Cause it's all about you. It's all about you.